You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. We're after round two of the GAA Championship and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Finian Hanley and joining us remotely, Eamon McGee. Eamon, I'm getting dog's abuse for my GAA Hour Skills Challenge. Yours is coming out this week. Will we be expecting big things?
You know the answer to that question already, Darren, but I'm delighted you're getting dog's abuse now because, you know, I had you pegged as a skillful footballer and I have serious doubts after your compilation there of skills, inverted commas.
I put it right the weekend. I got a very late free from outside the 45. The pressure was on. It went over and I am going to do the challenge again and hopefully put it right. And I'm delighted to say, Eamon, Finian is going to be taking part in the challenge today. Another fullback, so I'm not inviting any forwards.
Corner, you don't want to be beaten by bad cornerbacks anyway, that's for sure. The cornerbacks,
you're very selective on who you choose now, Darren.
Yeah, we couldn't kick it when we were playing. Well, I certainly couldn't. So, like, it's tactics. Can you hand pass it?
If you couldn't, fair play. I can't wait for today because I was thinking about it on the way up, and I was there going, do you know what? I've never seen Finian take a shot, and then I thought about it a bit more. I've never seen him outside his own 45.
I was institutionalised. I used to get sick when I passed the 45. Oh. See how it's changed. Now you've got Oisín Mullen cornerback passing to Cora O'Hara scoring goals. Yeah, and the goalies. So, look, I wouldn't be able for that, no. I like watching it, but like as Bart Joyce used to say, get it and hand pass it out.
Keep it safe. But we'll get back to the action anyway, because... In fairness, it was a great weekend of action. Unfortunately, we're going to start with the Armagh Donegal game. And I suppose it started so badly for Donegal with the goal after 15 or 16 seconds. But for the next 21 minutes, Donegal were outstanding. And I just can't understand the collapse. Like, you would have been above. How would you explain it?
Do you know when I seen that period of dominance after the Grugan goal, and you know, I was actually thinking about you because I know you get frustrated with Donegal,
yeah,
because they have undoubted potential, and I was just thinking, you know, this is a great example of what Darren's chatting about in terms of why Donegal drive people mental, because it's there, it's in the locker, and I kind of can understand the class because we've seen it. The team that loses in the provincial final are mentally fragile. So more often than not, they go out and they lose that qualifier game where you know, they're trying to bounce back. And, you know, they got the response from the Grugan goal. They pushed on and they really opened up Armagh. And then Armagh just pressed up on the kick out. You know, you have to give them serious credit in terms of what they've learned and what they've took into that Donegal game. They pressed up on the kick out. Patton struggled. He got away with one. Keelan Ward, unbelievable save on the line, and then they got caught with the second one, and we lost Patton. And that's where Donegal just didn't have it to give the response back. Paddy, I don't know, was that the right call to take Paddy off? You know, kind of true. He was going well up until that. You know, threw his focus off a wee bit. And there was no, as I said, there was no response from Donegal after that, and they just totally capsized.
Yeah, there was. I think it was actually the third point of the game, and it was a tap over for Murphy. But the actual build up to the score from a kick out from Patton out wide to a, I think it was McHugh on the run. It went kick up the line, then diagonal ball into McBrearty, who held off the fullback, caught into his chest with foul. And I was watching, going, "Geez, that was just lovely. It was beautiful to watch." And I was there. That's what you want to see him doing, and they got to a point, then they kind of, it was a case of, we'll keep this safe now, and it went a bit more lateral, and look, we kind of seen what happened with Patton. But I'll go to Finney, and the goal after 15 or 16 seconds, we're always crying out for it. Put the ball in. But it was unbelievable by Grugan, and he's just a serious operator.
Oh yeah, he's been one of their marquee players this year. He has for a couple of years, I suppose. Even when they're struggling, chips in with points, you know, he's real utility player. I know he was, you know, the early stages of his career, he came back from San Francisco and he was settling in, but like, he's not massively quick, but he gets up and down the park and he's so, so intelligent. And like, that goal was just a tonic for the whole championship. It was a tonic for, you know, GAA supporters, football supporters, you know, the nostalgic 1980s lovers, I'm sure were loving it. And you know what I mean? Everyone would have loved it. It was just a lovely ball in, winning the throw in, you know. Rian O'Neill set the tone, gave Murphy a bit of a slap, you know, went up, won it, fired it in, and the catch was so clean and the finish was so clean. It was straight off the training ground. So look, it got the game up and going, but Donegal came back and scored 6 points then in a row, missed a goal chance, and I thought they were cruising at that stage. Okay. And I thought, you know, Armagh had no answers for them, and I thought really after the Ulster final, Donegal were going to push on, and then obviously what happened with the penalty, and they just went flat, and it was quite kind of sad to see them kind of just capitulate in the end, you know. But look, that was probably one of the goals of the season, if not the goal of the season then. Yeah. Like, that's what Armagh have, and Donaghy has really pushed that, I'm sure, that long ball into and you know, O'Neill inside. It was interesting, the wing forward was in on the square, and it was really rehearsed because forward kicking it in, it's great to see, you know. They've got a lot in their locker, in fairness.
Yeah, Grugan actually strikes me as a fella who doesn't sweat. Do you know, he's so cool on the ball. He just seems to be gliding around the place. His head is always up. It's like you can actually nearly see his brain working, and he's just an intelligent footballer, beautiful left foot in him. But it was unbelievable. And do you know what? Like, the thing was, as good as Donegal were in that 20 minutes, for the first 10 minutes after the goal, like, Armagh, like, great, perfect start. Then they had two wides, two drops short, a blocked effort, and Donegal's defence was so on top, and they were playing this beautiful brand of football going the other way. Eamon, you might be able to explain it better. You call it a get out of jail with Stephen Campbell's miss. I think if you give him that chance 100 times, that's the only time he'll miss it, from Sean Patton's kick out.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I don't like that kick out, and I think it's a lazy option. But this, to do it for the next kick out with three orange, I just couldn't understand it. And you could see McBrearty on the bench having words with him. You can understand, like, because it ruined McBrearty's game as well. Because, like you said, he started well. Now, I thought it was a strange substitution anyway. I actually thought Donegal would be smarter after conceding. But, you know, next play, get a big collision, go down injured, waste a couple of minutes. Like, how would you explain the decision making, Eamon? I just thought it was strange.
I thought it was it's probably game awareness, you know, for Patton, in terms of he knows the coverage is there, and he puts the ball first of all to or McFadden Ferry for the first one, and I think it was McCall for the second one.
No, they both fumbled as well.
Now you can argue that, because if you go back to the Derry Ulster final, that for me was a key moment where Patton puts the ball out. Steve McMenamin waits in the ball, and the Derry man gets in ahead, and Steve McMenamin probably should have got a black card. You know, that was the turning point for me. Exact same thing. And I think there's a collective responsibility. It's easy just to say Patton, all right? You know, probably shouldn't have been a bit more game aware, but the touch didn't do the boys any favours at all. And you would just wonder. For me, it all comes back to the training ground. You know, they've got to be slick, and they've got to be doing a slick night in, night out after training. And it just didn't look like they were slick enough. And I had to laugh at the Paddy McBrearty thing. You know, it was just one of them days where you could have cried, but I just had to laugh at McBrearty just giving it to Patton. And it was just because I've seen him up close doing that, going on these wild rants and giving out and effing and being, and it just brought a smile to my face now.
Yeah, no, to be fair, I could understand it, because it brings you back to the under 12 or under 14 days where things aren't going well. Whip off the corner forward, and I know it was only a temporary sub, but like you said, he'd started well, he'd kicked a great score, he'd won a couple of frees. I couldn't believe, like you talked about being mentally, it just upscuttled Donegal altogether. But don't want to take away from Armagh, like, obviously they had a rapid start, didn't they? They had a slow start with their shooting, but some of the scores they're kicking after, the style of play, they were so direct. Athleticism all over the place, on top of the high skill level. You'd be looking forward to seeing them in Croke Park.
Well, you wouldn't really.
Oh yeah, you would actually.
Easy now.
I nearly forgot.
No, look, I suppose the thing about Armagh, like, they stick to their principles. They have a plan. That's it. You know, long ball, how they play. Like, they're not overly defensive. They've got their tactics tactics. They got their set play. They, you know, they really stick to their principles. And as you say, they missed a couple of shots, but they took them on and they took the next ones on. So I presume McKeever and Donaghy and Geezer are sitting there saying, look, you know, we back you to do this. We know you have these shots in your locker. Take them on. You know, we know you have the long. We're not going to win every long ball in because there's going to be, you know, blanket defences and things like that. But we want you to back yourselves because we have guys with aerial ability and good hands all over the park. You know, like even Duffy can win his own battles. You know, Rhian O'Neill can, Grugan can. Stephen Campbell's a big, tough centre forward, you know, as strong that's about, and he can get up and down the park as well. So, look, they're back in what they're doing. It's working. It's refreshing for Everton because, like, it really opens up now going to Croke Park. Galway versus Armagh is going to be a huge game because of the type of footballers that are in both teams. But look, they stuck to it. Even when Donegal were pulling ahead, I was sitting there going, Jesus, Donegal are going to rampage this. But Armagh just keep going. They keep doing what they want to do. Keep letting the ball in. And they're dangerous. They're extremely dangerous. And they showed they ground Donegal down with long ball, you know, moving the ball faster than men can get back. And it works. When it works really well. So unless they come up against a Derry, I'd be interested to see Armagh against a Derry.
Yeah.
Even Galway, if we set up defensively, you know, will those balls be coming off that came off yesterday in a more open Donegal defence? It'll be interesting to see. And will they have something else in their locker? Will they have that running game as well? That'll be, I'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, mentally you'd have to be impressed with Armagh as well. Yes, and you mentioned Stephen Campbell. Obviously he missed the goal chance, which, like we said, he'd get that 99 times out of 100. But he actually had a tough start to the game. He'd been turned over a few times at a wide. Mentally, he came good. Do you know, like a lot of the Armagh players did after Donegal had such a good 20 minutes. They generally stuck to it, like you said, the game plan. They stuck to the principle that they're trying to go to. And Rhian O'Neill, Eamon, he kicked 1-7. And I suppose a lot of the talk before the game was he wasn't scoring enough from play. Maybe wasn't contributing enough besides frees, but he was outstanding the last 10. Going forward, like, he has everything. Like, how it's hard to think how you'd actually stop a fella like that who has such size, strength and skill. And up in Croke Park, we've seen what he did against the Dubs early in the year. He'll be buzzing to get back into Croke Park.
He'll be buzzing. And Rhian O'Neill, I said it after the game, for a neutral, you would pay nearly to go in and watch him. He's that type of kind of Dermot Connolly-esque, where he's just sublime in everything he does and the way he strikes the ball, the passes he picks out. And as I say, he's kind of come on the scene. Everybody's new, he's a good player, and then he's got the close attention, and that happens to every forward. Every forward's gone through that phase where they come under close attention, they go quiet, and then the really good ones then will just bust to life again. And that's Rhian O'Neill has, you know, announced himself again. He says, listen, I've been quiet up to this game throughout the Ulster Championship, and he had the confidence. He kept backing himself, and he's going to enjoy Croke Park the next day.
Yeah, it's actually a good comparison, Dermot Connolly, because he has all the magic attributes to his game, but he also has that, I think he has a short fuse, which I think a lot of the teams will start trying to target there, because he does play on the edge and it's a great part of his game. But it'll be interesting to see what his maturity is like and how he can, does he fall for the bait? Because I'd imagine if I was a Galway defender, I'd be trying to get in his head early and frustrate him and annoy him, because he does strike me as a fella who might lash out.
Yeah.
And that's the learning for him, Darren, now, because we played them in a club game in 2018, I think the semi-final, and, you know, we would have been aware that, you know, he'll take the bait fairly handy, and sure enough, things were going against them. He got a red card, and I've seen that in games for Armagh then, where you can get at him, and same, he's got to learn and take that on board and become, because he's going to get it every day. He's the same as, you know, Murphy, same as Gooch, the abuse they would have got throughout the years, and he's going to get it every game now. And if you become hot headed, like we go back to Connolly kind of took the bit more often than not, and Rhian O'Neill just can't have that weakness in his armoury.
I agree, Eamon, and I think, I suppose, I don't know, do Galway have a player, particularly in defence, that will, you know, we've a lot of newer players, a lot of kind of younger players or whatever it is, but like Armagh were very in Donegal's faces yesterday. I know this was mentioned, like they were a bit of shouting, a bit of roaring, and that's been kind of in their game this year, really getting in teams' faces when they do a turnover and, you know, that kind of, some people call it ugly or whatever it is, but like it's in the game, you know, and if a team, to really get yourself up for the game and into it, maybe the first turnover, the first block, you might roar at your opponent or something like that. And Armagh have been doing that, and I think that's something that Galway won't have or don't have in their defence. Particularly, we have a lot of really good footballers, but we don't have too many dogs that will go in on Rian O'Neill and absolutely ruffle the feather, ruffle his feathers. One thing I was particularly impressed with Armagh was their fitness levels.
Like
their fitness. We, on the international rules in 2011, Kieran McGeaney was involved, and he had us up for 6 weeks in the John Kavanagh's jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah.
And we were up every Thursday, and him and John Kavanagh just beating the shite out of us. Like, Eamon's brother Neil was there as well, and the training was absolutely 2 hours of the worst debauchery you could go through. And I know the Armagh, the Kildare lads were doing it at the time. I'd be interested to see if, you know, we must ask Donnie or whoever like could tell you the type of fitness training, because they look really well conditioned. Yeah. Stephen Campbell looks in unbelievable
shape.
The best shape he's been in years. And, you know, they can really get up and down. And to play the way they play, you really have to have the lungs. And, like, I'd be interested to see what sort of training they've done, because they, like, heading to Croke Park now, they definitely have the artillery, they definitely have the lungs. And, look, and they have that bit of spark is there as well, you know.
They seem to have the squad as well at the moment. Like, you know, they've good subs coming off the bench, and Donaghy actually name checked three or four lads from the defence who weren't in contention for the weekend and maybe or maybe not available in a couple of weeks' time. So the strength of the squad is very impressive by the men as well at the moment. And Eamon, like, they're going into Croke Park against Galway. Like, the momentum that they will have built up now, obviously they've beaten Tyrone, now they've beaten Donegal. Like, this has been the argument about teams going through the qualifiers, the momentum and the confidence they build up, whereas, right, Galway won a Connacht title. It seems like a long time ago now. A lot of football's been played since then. So you'd probably fancy their chances. Like, and it's one of them ones, like, and Finian mentioned it there, can Galway get up to that level of intensity and aggression with Armagh, or will Galway's new style of kind of not flooding the defence but holding their positions, will that frustrate Armagh, take them away from their game plan?
I think both teams will be looking at this quarter final, you know, and really, really fancying themselves. When Galway will have looked at that patch Donegal had in the first half and the response to the Grugan goal, and anything that Armagh will see of Galway, you know, Galway beat a Roscommon team that lost to Clare. They'll fancy themselves definitely, and that's the great thing about that. This is going to be a really, really good game here. I think Armagh, in terms of they've got it defensively. You know, you go back to Finian's point there that they were doing this MMA or whatever kind of training it was, but there was the way they defended. There was all passion, all aggression, and they've married that now with the discipline and kind of defensive smartness, and I think that's the big turning point. We know they had the footballers in terms of Rian O'Neill, Grugan, Campbell and these lads. It was just they were so naive at the back, so over the top at the back. And they're sound there now, they're smart. And you know, that's going to be the big test when you've Shane Walsh, you know, you've Comer in there, Paul Conroy, how do they stop him? And it's going to be a brilliant tie.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably going to be probably the tie of the weekend or of the quarterfinals, I think. And who else will be there? Will be Mayo. They got over the line again against Kildare. Wasn't the greatest game in the world to watch. It was kind of typical of Mayo games. Turning point for me was, I think, Flynn going for goal. That would have put him up 6 points. I think they were outscored then 173 points. So it was typical Mayo. I look at Mayo and I go, how many times can Lee Keegan, because he seems to be the driving force, and look, he is unbelievable, and but did we learn anything new from Mayo, Finian?
We said it last week, I suppose. Look, it's hard to analyse, like, where do you even start, or like,
the backs.
You know, like they're playing Kerry now on Sunday week, and they will not fear Kerry one bit. They'll go wherever they have to go, and they'll absolutely put it up to them, and they won't give a damn about Kerry. I'd say they were going home, waking up this morning going, sure, the draw is the draw. We've been there down that road before. We don't care. You know, they're probably better off getting a Kerry or a Dublin because, you know, just where they're at, like they're missing Ryan O'Donoghue, whatever, like they just really need to get that passion. Like on Saturday, the forwards weren't clicking, they weren't kicking scores, they were missing shot after shot after shot. It was just, how is this happening again? And then up the defence come up the pitch, Lee Keegan, you know, Paddy Durkin, they're coming up kicking scores. Like Keegan took that, his first point on, at a point, and I think the commentary said it was at a point where they were struggling up front.
They needed it.
And he just takes the onus. His man barely touches the ball. I don't know how he does it. Pops up, kicks it over the bar, rallies the troops, and then they start getting a bit of, you know, a bit of impetus. So it's very hard to analyse them. Like, is Ryan O'Donoghue going to be back the next day? They need him back. Like, they had Jason Doherty. I thought Jack Kearney was poor. Had a good catch and set up a point in the first half, or set up the goal chance for Owen McLaughlin. But other than that, I didn't see anything there. I think Orm is probably a better option. I didn't see anything in him now that's going to say, well, I'm going to carry this team over to the quarter final to the semi final. But look, Mayo or Mayo, they'll be there and thereabouts. They won't fear Kerry. Did we learn anything new? No, nothing. Same crack over the last 10 years. Have they a chance of beating Kerry? Of course they do.
Yeah, and I suppose from
sounds simple, but like it's hard. It's very hard to analyze them. Eamon might have more science to it, but is there any science to it?
I don't think you can apply logic or science to the Mayo team over this last decade at this stage. You know, any team that scores two own goals in an All Ireland final, I think when you I don't know. What do you say? And I would disagree with you on the point where they have a chance against Kerry. I don't think they do. I think Kerry, you know, will blow this Mayo team out of the water. Inevitably, that means that Mayo will beat Kerry. But no, I just think the way they're setting up and the way Kerry are setting up, but there's lens to Kerry and to Clifford and these lads. And it'll be interesting, you know, when you look at it. We talked about Keegan, and he's, you know, they're going to have to put him up in the museum in years to come. He's just the brilliant player of the ages. Does he go on Clifford now? Does he? Because who else goes on him? Who would you put him on, Finian?
I suppose who can mark David Clifford? No one can keep him to scoreless. Do you know what I mean? I think that's, we need to forget that. He's going to kick two or three points. I suppose it's the effect he has on the other players around him and setting up the goal chances that he does. You know, when you think he's going to kick a score and then all of a sudden he slips a Shaunie Shea or a Darren
Moynihan. This isn't about Kerry. Leave Kerry out of this.
We have to start bigging them up, you know, so someone can catch them. But I don't know him, and to be honest, it's probably Keegan. Look, if they were playing Galway in the morning, they'd have Keegan on Shane Walsh. It's probably Keegan. I know it'll take away from him getting out the pitch, but look, Mayo will need something different. Are they going to go back to the Pádraig O'Hara in the league final? Are they going to look at the league final, or are they going to scrap it and say, sure, look, that was then, this is now? Or are they going to tighten up the defence, you know, maybe get a sweeper?
We've been saying this about Mayo. Mayo have needed something different for how many years, and they haven't brought it, and they're just, you can maybe applaud them for sticking to their principles, or you can say, like, are we going to learn here?
But I think,
and maybe Horn's tied. Maybe his hands are tied by the fact that he's only going with the hand he's dealt with. Like, but
I think
we've been saying Mayo need to change it up. For
I think
how many
before they even look at Kerry, they have to look at themselves, because for 50 odd minutes, Kildare were the better team. They left Mayo have the kick out at times in the first half, just got bodies back, frustrated. They kicked a lot of, seemed to be easy scores, and in the end I actually think Kildare probably ran out of steam, but they took the wrong options. They had a lot of bad wides in the second half that would have kicked them putting 5, 6, 7 points up. That's fuel to the fire for Mayo. You go into the last 10-15 minutes and Mayo 5, 6, 7 points, they're not afraid of that. That's when they throw the shackles off. So like, I think if Mayo were up against a team with better know-how, like I think it was mentioned yesterday about Clare and the know-how they've developed over the last number of years, I think if they played Mayo played a team with better know-how yesterday, and this isn't even a Dublin or a Kerry, they would have lost that game because, like we said, Daniel Flynn had a great run. Harrison or Hessian had the corner, the goal blocked off. Henley had the other section blocked off. Take your point, reset, start again. Like, for me, Flynn is he's a rough diamond. He has all the skills, pace and power, but he doesn't know what he's going to do with the ball.
Yeah.
And that was a time where you needed a bit of kind of game intelligence. Put that over the bar, 6 points, reset, frustrate them, get the bodies back to, because things weren't going well for Mayo. And it was like that just ignited Mayo. It was a big block.
Yeah.
And then, look, we know what happened after. But I tweeted after the game, like you said, Eamon, it'll probably come back to bite me. They can't keep relying on this. And like a couple of Mayo fans were getting hot and bothered over it, going, oh, does it just count if the forward score? But my thing is, if Keegan does mark Clifford, he's as likely to concede 3 points as he is to score it. So you take Keegan scores out of it, you take Owen McLaughlin scores out of it, because McLaughlin could be on a Stephen O'Brien, who you're not going to have your own way going forward all the time. You're going to have to defend. So you're as likely to concede your 2 or 3 points. Same against the Dublin or even Armagh, where your forwards are attacking a lot. And I just think in the league final is the first time I ever seen Mayo what looked like down tools. No fight, no nothing. And it was because they didn't have the ball. And if that happens in 2 weeks' time, Keegan could be running around all he wants. If they don't have the ball, it's no good show.
Yeah.
They need something else.
They will. I suppose, look, Kerry are going to have Tadhg Morley as the free man. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Knocking around, covering off space, covering off the full back line. So obviously, Mayo are going to have a free man if they want it, or are they going to go kamikaze and push everyone up or whatever it is and leave lads exposed? You don't know. But I suppose probably one of the better years that Mayo had over the last 10 was the year they had Kevin McLaughlin as a sweeper, intelligent player, able to kick pass. Now, maybe too far gone in years to do that in Croke Park on Sunday week. He's still in the panel. He's one of the more intelligent players. Have they got someone that can sit back and play that role and tuck people back in beside him when they need to cover off the likes of Clifford and Paddy Clifford, and, you know, make Kerry think about it and shoot from angles that, you know, 70% shots, 60% shots, instead of getting in around that D and Clifford and Moynihan, these guys just tapping over, and Sean Shea tapping over freeze, do you know what I mean? So they've got to do something different. They'd be very stupid if they don't. They'll bring the energy, they'll bring the support, they'll bring the physicality, they'll have no fear, they'll have all that, but, you know, they'll need something different. You know, Aidan O'Shea in on top of Jason Foley for 20 minutes, you know, people might say that's mad, but maybe, look, a couple of, you know, if Rean O'Neill was kicking the ball into Aidan O'Shea, it'd be decent. I would be lumping him in there for 20 minutes the next day, definitely.
Yeah, and Eamon, I suppose I'm going to go back to Kildare, and after the game, I think poor old Aaron O'Neill was getting a lot of abuse, and it was it was a weekend of goalie between Ethan Rafferty doing the business for Armagh, Sean Patton having wouldn't call it a meltdown, but I don't know what to call it with the kickouts. Aaron O'Neill made a great save from McLaughlin in the first half, but kickouts cost Kildare so badly in that game. And like, for me, it'd be one thing I'd be saying to Kerry, like, going forward, the one team you don't want to go short against is Mayo. They're great tacklers, they're very intense. If you're going to lose the ball against Mayo, you want to lose it 70-80 yards and go, so you can flood the defence and get bodies back there to frustrate them. Kildare did so much right for 50 odd minutes. I just thought they'd have a bit more cop there, because it got them into trouble so often, the kickouts. That's not always a goalie's fault. It's obviously the players outside the field as well.
But like, when you look at Mayo over this last how many years, they've been the best team at pressing the kick out. And probably, you know, up there with the terms of the best team at pressing high, you know, getting the tackle up high in the field and then filtering back. So if you're putting, you know, a keeper, and he's got to be slick, and he's got to be smart that he's coming up against this press. And if he does get the ball away, you know, you've, as you said, smart tacklers, they create traps, and they're very, very good at making that press. So probably was the wrong call with Kildare, but they made a call, you know, and that's, they live and die by that, and it turned out to be the wrong one.
Yeah. A big disappointment too is Kevin Feely, who was midfield. Yeah. I like watching him. I think he's a super player. He's man of the match weekend. It's just a pity that Kildare aren't kicking on, because you'd like to see him competing on a more regular basis against a bigger opposition, because he seems to have everything in his locker as well.
Oh yeah, no, he's a serious player, and like you spoke about Flynn can do anything. He can score 110, or he can miss four from play, or he could break the goalpost. Do you know what I mean? You just don't know what you're getting. He's all action, and maybe that frustrates. I saw Glenn Ryan getting a bit frustrated with him at times, you know, particularly with the goal chance. There was a slip, or maybe there was another bit in him. He'd have bulled Hessian out of the way if he got closer to him, you know. So frustrating for Kildare, because they were there. There were a couple of more bits of composure. Like, Jesus, you can't blame the goalie. Like let the goalie without sin cast the first stone. No goalie. Yeah. Every goalie has had a meltdown in the country. Even Cluxton had a couple of meltdowns. So like blaming Aaron O'Neill is pure nonsense. You look at Pat, and Galway have had 10 goalies over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a lonely place. And obviously we look at kickouts now or whatever it is, but shit happens. Like particularly in goalies. Goalies make mistakes all the time. Well, every footballer makes mistakes, but goalies have problems with kickouts. You know, Big Durkin kicked the ball out to Donny in an All-Ireland final. You know, one of the best goalies ever. Do you know what I mean? Look, these things happen. That wasn't the winning and the losing, I don't think, for Kildare. They had enough chances. Just Mayo, when you're playing against a Mayo, if they were playing against anyone else, a less resilient, team that haven't worn the road as much as Mayo, they probably would have won, you know. But look, they'll learn a lot from it. I think they have a reason to be optimistic going into next year.
Ah, they will, yeah. Look, I think they are making progress. They're getting there. And like, in fairness, their reaction to the heavy beating they got from Dublin was good. And they're, like we said, 50-odd minutes. And Mullen's goal tended to really turn the tide, and it actually reminded me a small bit of Roscommon's goal in the league. He was surrounded by three defenders and they left a line going straight for goal.
Yeah,
I couldn't understand. I was like, he's gone here. No, he's bottled up. He was soling around. Next thing, he turned around and it was just wide open. And obviously, Páirc Ó'Hara had come on, fresh legs, all energy, made a good run, quick 1-2 and a great finish, Eamon. But Mullins didn't have it all his own way defensively. He was lucky he didn't give away a penalty. I thought it was a penalty, to be honest. I thought it was a poor call from the referee. So a bit of poor defending there from Kildare, catching him again.
Yeah, when you talk about defending, I think we had Barry Cahill on last week, and he gave a great term. You know, it's like we can all bring defensive intensity, but it's, you know, to be smart, defensive awareness. And I find this a lot with teams where you throw them into a square, like a 2v2 or 3v2 in a square in possession, and they just batter the heads of each other. And you talk about Oisin Mullen's goal and the smarts behind that there. Like, that seemed to me like the square training. Throw them in the square, let them fire away. There's no positional awareness. There's no spatial awareness here. It's just contact, contact, contact. And there's no wild decision making. Yeah. And, you know, teams have got to, if you're going to defend, you've got to be aware of space, you've got to be aware of men, you've got to be aware of ball. And that's how teams should train in terms of defending.
Yeah, no, you're actually right. And it was a case of we'll all make contact here, but nobody knew where the goal was. And that was the one area they left open. But look, I suppose the story of it is Mayo do what Mayo do best. And they come back from the dead when it didn't seem possible, and they're into the next round. And look, they're playing Kerry, and like you said, Finian, they're not going to fear Kerry. Do you know what? In fairness to them, they have a great mentality. They won't fear anyone. It'll be interesting. I don't think they'll come with something different, but who knows? They might. They might finally go away from.
Well, I suppose the big thing could be a selection. You just wouldn't know. They could select someone from left field altogether. Do you know, Fergal Boland came on, he had form, he'd kicked 7 points in a league match the week before.
Just shows the highlights, playing a bit of club football as well can do for a fella.
Yeah, and he kicked two fantastic scores. So is he in the mix to start now? Probably is, but like, will they go back to Orm instead of Kearney? Is Ryan O'Donoghue going to be fit? Have they enough? Like, I suppose I was watching their minor team closely over the last while playing Galway, and the Hurley brothers coming, who look serious. Now, a bit soon for them, but are they going to unearth this forward that's going to really, like, they have Tommy Conroy, he's laid up, Ryan O'Donoghue, and they probably need one or two more that can fill the voids when these boys are injured as well. So have they something in their locker there? You know, like, they've played Aidan O'Shea at full back. They've done mad things at mad times, is what I'm saying. And is this a time for another Mayo madness Maybe it is.
Madness or masterclass. We'll wait and see. But in Croke Park as well, the weekend, you had Clare and Roscommon, and it was brilliant for Clare, brilliant for Cullum Collins, and the scenes at the end were unreal. But Roscommon will come away absolutely kicking themselves at Eamon. And I think it was another game where they didn't bring any intensity. I know they play well in spells, but they played very poorly in spells. I'd say Anthony Cunningham will be extremely disappointed.
You'll be sick if you're Roscommon. Like, that'll be a tough one to take for them. For this few days and for the weeks ahead, in terms of, you know, they should be looking at a quarter final. But just on the game, it was such a great display of attacking football. Mm-hmm. You can maybe question at times the defending, and the lack of defending maybe is the better word. But, you know, the point taking, the skills on display, and especially Clare's last score, how they worked it out, it was nearly like Dublin. They didn't rush it. They knew they had time on their side. They just wanted to make sure of the right choice, get the right man the ball, and, you know, get the ball over the bar. And it was as well a work score as you'll see for this summer, for this championship. And, you know, that's down to good coaching. You know, we're all talking about Colin Collins, and he's got serious plaudits and all deserved, but it has to be called out that Clare looked, from an offensive point of view anyway, looked really well coached.
Yeah, I think it was said last night that 13 shots in the first half, they got 11 scores out of it. And like that was the same for both teams, to be fair. The kicking in the first half was outstanding. And Cathal O'Connor midfield for Clare, like he's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
He glides around the place, and he might look like he's the most gracious kicker, but he kicked a couple of good scores as well.
Yeah, he's around for a while as well. He was, you know, they were a great partnership, himself and Gary Brennan.
And Gary seemed to get most of the headlines. But the two of them together, like, they were as good as any midfield partnership around.
Yeah, and Croke Park suits him because he's quite big. He's big, tall and rangy. He can get forward and kick beautiful scores. But like Keelan Sexton's free in the second half, like, was unbelievable a score, as you'll see in Croke Park. It was Brian Sheehan distance and Brian Sheehan's distance over the bar as well. It was, you know, some of the score taken. They're really well coached. They're like, they keep the ball, they hand pass it, like their hand passing is slick, you know. They're not ones to play the percentages. They're a possession based team. If they have it, they'll work it forward and they'll get a shot off. Do you know what I mean? They won't be kicking anything, you know. They're not in the Armagh 50-50 kind of, you know. They're really well coached. And I think they'll give Derry plenty of it, because they're on a roll. You know, there's some really good footballers there. As I said, Sexton is as good. Like, his goal in the first half as well was just take ignorance. I'm getting through here. It doesn't matter who's there.
The pass from Russell as well for that. Like, it seemed like nothing was on. It was a beautiful little dink pass across, and right, bit of a scruffy finish, but the goal is a goal. Like, but it was a good move. And like, with the energy of Podge Collins around the place, then you're bringing in Cleary, is a lovely footballer, Tubridy, Sexton. Yeah. Like, I'm only naming four of them there, like, but that's four forwards that you really have to watch. Like, I know Podge mightn't get too many scores. He kicked a lovely one outside the right, but his energy around the place, and like you said about the slick hand passing, it's not slick hand passing and standing. They run everywhere.
Yeah.
And they've great energy coming from their backs as well to add into the attack, Eamon.
That, Darren, Eamon will remember 2011, Kevin Cassidy's point against Kildare at the end in the rain. Like, Malone's point was like that. Yeah. It was, you know, I know it was a short day and not a big crowd, and this is going back to the crowd. Imagine that was a fuller stadium. The buzz would have been unbelievable. I remember that game, being at that game, Kildare and Donegal, and the atmosphere was unreal. And the lights were on. But it was like that, and it was just a brilliant finish. It was a epic game. It was just, it was really, really good. And I suppose it goes back to two similar teams going at it for a massive prize, you know?
Yeah, Eamon, that kind of brings up the argument about Croke Park, because I know Cullum Collins said after that they wanted to go to Croke Park because obviously it suits their style of play and players want to play in Croke, but it looks awful. It just looks awful.
It looks awful, and it's an awful in terms of an atmosphere. Now, there's two sides to the argument. There's a side that a few years ago, I'm nearly sure there was an argument put forward where the players from lesser, and I put that in inverted commas, lesser counties, don't get their day out. So open Croke Park to maybe the qualifier games, to the quarterfinals. and the teams are going to want to play in Croke Park in terms of getting that experience for the big days. But you also have to look at it as a marketing tool. Like, people talk about the county game as a marketing tool. A young fella at that game, he's just going to be really, really empty stadium. You know, you can hear an echo or whatever, 15,000 people. You compare to that atmosphere and a game like that there, or score for score, that Clare coming down the home straight penalty for that point, and everybody on the top of each other, the noise, and you know, that young fella or young girl that goes away from that game, that stays with them. You know, an empty Croke Park, not so much, and that's what they do. For me, I'd be siding more so on the marketing. Like, I know, I get the players' argument, I get the big days. You know, the teams want their big day in Croke Park, but it's all to do with the next generation, with the county game. Like, how do we get that young fella, for me, young girl playing for Donegal? You know, how do we inspire that? And, you know, atmosphere that they say, right, I want to be part of this atmosphere. I want to be out in the field, people shouting my name, people shouting, you know, Clare, come on, Roscommon. And empty Croke Park just doesn't give that.
Yeah, and Clare, like, just going back to the actual game, to score 1-3 in the last 6 minutes of play, do you know, like, Roscommon obviously took their eye off the ball, but Clare's ability to just keep going. And the first score back was actually Cleary won a free out by the sideline. Just dilly-dallying on the ball, I suppose, Roscommon. But he's one of your playmakers, your, I suppose, football. He's working and grafting. He's not giving up. And it gets brought in for the centre, whatever it was, tap over free. And like you were saying, then, Eamon, about the atmosphere, imagine the buzz. The next play, then there's a penalty.
Yeah.
He sticks the penalty. Straight after that, there's a free, like you said, massive distance out, sailing over the bar. And obviously, look, Jamie Malone's score was unreal. And one side, you would say, imagine if that was in a small, compact ground, the atmosphere, everything would explode. But then I suppose he can go away going, well, I kicked a winner in the 74th minute in Croke Park. So it is a tough one. So it is one. I'd prefer it in the smaller grounds, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that this Clare team can give Derry a fright. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got over the line.
Yeah.
And like that, we're saying it for
a
while.
Big call, Darren. That's a big call.
Yeah, like, I know, like yourself, I get off the fence.
But to Eamon's point about, I suppose, the crowd just and kids at the game, you know, a young lad or a young girl at the game there the last day would be asking their parents, you know, why isn't the stand full, or why is it so empty? And the parents have to say, well, it's only round four qualifier. Yeah. Go to a full stadium in a smaller ground. What happens if we win this?
Yeah.
We go to Croke Park.
That's 100%.
We go to the Coliseum. You know, if we can win here in this, we get to Croke Park on quarter final day. And that's the incentive. Look, we don't all deserve. I played a handful of times in Croke Park in 13 or 14 years. And like, you know, when you get there, it's everyone's not going to play in Croke Park. That's just the way it is. You know, like, that's just the way the structures are. But
Maybe that's easy for us to say, Finny, and we've had our days in Croke Park. Like, we've been up the road plenty now. And to someone that, you know, doesn't get many days in Croke Park, you can make a strong argument for them to say, you know.
I always look at it, remember, like, even the FA Cup, they started bringing more games to Wembley and it kind of diluted it. And they used to be playing quarterfinals in Villa Park and places, and the atmosphere was unreal. It was only the semi-final and final. And like, realistically, the last couple of years, even semi-finals, if you don't get two heavyweights against each other, it's very rarely full. But look, everyone deserves their chance, you think, to get to Croke Park. And that's obviously the great thing about the Taliesin Cup now coming up as well, that they'll be semi-finals on in Croke Park. But there was one other game as well the weekend, Cork and Limerick. Cork are just, they're dogging it out, in fairness. I'll start with Limerick and the job Billy Lee's done there. Look, they'll go away disappointed to have lost the game. I think the black card cost them, but it's been a great year for them, and it's a testament to the work that's been done there by Billy Lee and all the management team. So as they'll be disappointed, but great progress made again this year, and they'll be looking to kick it on again next year, hopefully in Division 2, and hopefully cementing their place there to drive on another bit of Finian.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's been a huge success. Considering where their hurlers are, it's, you know, they're a credit, really, what they're doing. They've unearthed a few few really good footballers, you know, Nash, like really like fit, able for all seasons kind of, you know, and they'll give teams plenty. It'll be great to see Division 2, like Dublin possibly going to Gaelic grounds, you know, in the winter time or in the spring, the springtime, in the rain, you know, maybe under lights. It'd be brilliant for Limerick, and as a county and as a football and county, they gave everything they had this year. They've really come on. They were, you know, not too far away from a quarter final. Like they won't be clear on penalties and stuff. They've had a great year. They can look back and be really, really proud, you know. So they're the type of team that could cause a lot of trouble in Division Two next year. That'll be his big ambition, is to stay there and consolidate. You've got Dublin and Kildare as well. So to get around mid table next year in the league would be great, and to push on and have another cut at the Munster Championship if it's still around.
Yeah. Well, look, what do you mean still around? There's 3 Munster Championship teams in the last 8 now, so hold your horses there now. Yeah.
But the new Ulster.
Eamon, speaking of Cork, look, they're still getting a lot of stick and abuse, but they're beating what's been put in front of them. I think they're improving every day. I think the game against Kerry was the start of it, where they just showed a bit of fight. They've showed a bit of intensity. They've Poulter playing the sweeper role probably as well as anybody is playing it at the moment. And he's so tenacious and he comes out with pace. And look, they have lads up front. Hurley, Sherlock, O'Mahony got a super goal yesterday. Sherlock, 8 points. So they have a couple of forwards up there who'll cause them trouble. John O'Rourke has been around a while. Great energy. Kicked a couple of good scores as well. So look, they're a good bit off the top table, but they're getting games. They're in the last 8. They have to be given a bit of credit, because I think it's a bit unfair that it's all negative against Cork. They're still there. They're still standing. And whoever's been putting their weight, they've got over the line. So credit has to be given to them.
And that's the thing, you know, they might have got a handy draw for it. But the way it is, there probably was no handy draw. They've earned the right to be in the quarterfinal. That's what I would say. And they'll build on it. You know, that was the starting point, was that bit of fight they showed against Kerry, because, you know, we would have talked about them coming up to things just weren't going well, and there's a lot of negativity. And even listening to a bit of the pre-match build-up from people within the county, there just seemed to be, they're just not good enough, and that's it. And, you know, that's disappointing. They were a game away from, you know, they would have been expected to beat Limerick, a game away from the quarterfinal, so things probably should have been a bit more positive. And, you know, they're not going to beat Dublin. They'll probably get tanked by Dublin, but it's just about keeping the head up and keeping at it. And as we said, we talked about it before, like, it's just keep holding the baton for the next generation to come through, which from the outside looking in, there's plenty of talent there.
Yeah, and like you said, it is bespoke. It's games. The more games you play, the better they'll improve. And you're about the young talent come through. Look, there wasn't a great crowd at the game, but it was actually nice, and I'm not big into the pitch invasions after, but it was actually nice to see the Cork crowd coming onto the pitch to congratulate him, and the kids getting pictures with the lads as well. So, look, there's always positives, and the more games that are there, the more lads that can go watching them, and the more young kids you can inspire. And look, they're in a quarter final. Paul Walsh got about 90 seconds of football.
Saw the red mist.
What? Just like... He could have cost him. Like, it was just so stupid. It was a thing of nothing, but it was right in front of the ref.
Look, he was pumped and coming on, and he was ready to roll and make an impression or whatever. No, he made a serious
great impression.
One of the moments of the year, I think, to be on for about a minute and a half, and then getting not a red but 2 yellows in that time was.
I didn't think it was possible.
It's impressive. It's impressive. You know, I think you're right on. I think John O'Rourke makes the team. Connects the team.
He's got that bit of experience
big
as well.
He was missing for a while, I think, during the year. He's a big player, because he's up and down. He's kind of like Grugan. He's a very good footballer, intelligent, can take a score, and he kind of connects the whole thing together. They do have a good inside line, but they need someone out there kind of bringing the whole from back to front, as it were, you know. So he's a big player. Eamon's probably right that, you know, the Dubs are going to dismantle them, I would say. But look, they're, we can't change now all of a sudden. We were a couple of weeks back here talking about 5-year projects, and now we're, you know, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and go, Jesus, Cork, you know, are they going to get tanked by Dublin? If they do, they do. They're on a different trajectory. They need to keep the foundation, make sure no one gets negative on mm-hmm. the project just because they lose to Dublin or whatever it is. They need to stick to their guns, go out next year, start building a bit more. Getting more young guys in and keeping to that, keeping to their targets, and not get just, oh, we're in a quarter final now, we need to be in a semi final next year or win Munster. You know, they need to relax and enjoy this year, and then go to the next step, the next step, the next step.
Well, that's exactly it. It's about, well, you're not going to enjoy the Dublin game if it doesn't go too well, but it is about building on what they've done the last couple of games, and like you said, trying to take the positives away from it. And we're on about the forwards there, like Hurley. Hurley's been doing this for a long time. He's still doing the business in there. He's bull strong, very hard to stop. Sherlock has really impressed me this year. And young O'Mahony, his goal yesterday was brilliant. Won a ball out in front, turn, and from the first moment, he just wanted to take on his man. And the finish, me personally, I would have just lashed it across. But such a cool, calm finish on the keeper's near side while holding off the defender shows a bit of quality that, you know, you can be optimistic for the future for Cork. And look, like we said, there, it's not an overnight thing, but once they progress a small bit next year, maybe try and avoid a bad beating against Dublin. Sure, look, it's all to.
They're not going to avoid a bad. They're going to get beat well by Dublin. But it's,
you're as cranky, you know, this morning. Will you give him a break?
they're going to get a hockey in. Is right. He's right in fairness on that one. But it's just as they don't get too negative. But what would you do with, like, you'd hate to mark Brian Hurley. He's a cruciate killer, as we used to call them. You know, like your knees would be turned inside out because he's so small. He's quick, and he seems a bit bullish, and he doesn't care, you know. That'd be a nightmare hour for anyone, or hour and a half.
He won't care about bullying through you or flaking at you or giving you a bit of
he might kick one from the sideline just to really annoy you, you know.
Well, we're coming to the exciting time of the season where there's a couple of great games to look forward to now. We talked about it earlier about Kerry and Mayo. What will Mayo bring to the table? Kerry haven't really played a whole pile. Mayo coming in, momentum's probably a funny word to say, look, but they've games under their belt, they've won them. Armagh, buzzing. Galway, big Connacht title. Clare and Derry. I genuinely know you're probably both looking at me, but I just think Derry have gone into every game, not with a bit of chip on their shoulder, you know, pumped up to the last. Now they're being hyped up a bit. They're going in playing a team that now everyone's expecting them to beat. Will they underestimate Clare? Not purposely, but going into thinking, we're better than Clare, we should beat Clare. I think it's a very dangerous game for them.
Dangerous is the word, that's the exact word I'd be using too, Darren, because human nature being what it is, they'll have looked at that draw, Dublin and Kerry on one side, and they'll have looked at that draw, and there's a part of them thinking, right, we're going to get over Clare here, and whoever comes out of the other game, we'll have a good chance against them. So we could possibly, they're thinking, a small part of them is thinking All-Ireland final here. And that's a dangerous, dangerous spot against, as we were talking about, a well-coached Clare team. And they've just got to be on it. They've got to be on it from, I'd like to think there's enough experience about that Derry dressing room. And, you know, Rory will have the lads queued in. But it's just about, it's natural to think that, to project ahead, but it's how you let that grow now in the next week, and how that affects your training, how it affects your preparation. It's a dangerous tie for them.
But look, it's exciting now, and hopefully now a little later on they'll tell us where it's gone. I tweeted there that they should put a double header, Kerry and Mayo, Dublin and Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. We're up the road from it. But 45,000, maybe not the Kerry Mayo. I think Mayo fans weren't happy with the price of diesel they were giving out to me about travelling, but sure, it's just as bad to Dublin. But I was there going in my own head, going, imagine, lovely stadium, pitch is brilliant, 45,000 full. You'd sell it out. I just think the atmosphere would be unreal. But we all know it'll be in Croke Park and it'll be maybe half, three quarters full. But in other news, Mead and Andy McEntee left his job, got a lot of abuse. Colm O'Rourke ruled himself out the weekend. I think he more or less said that even someone as stupid as him can get the hint after going for it three times and being turned down. But do you know, you'd be following stuff on Twitter and people commenting, this fella should take it, that fella should take it. And like, you'd see the abuse directed at fellas. Most of it's grown men, adults, that do be doing the abuse. You'd be looking, I found myself looking at comments a lot lately, and you're looking and you look at the profile picture and it's either something stupid or some fella sitting on his couch, and the abuse is just beyond belief. But I don't think these people understand what actually goes into, never mind playing, but managing a county team. Like, you're putting your life, your career, your family, everything on hold. And no thanks at all for it. It's just dog's abuse.
That's just the nature of the Irish, yeah. The Irish mentality. We'd abuse. That's just the way it is. You know, we're thick about everything. And that's, yeah, look, Andy McIndy was there for, I think, 6 years. You know, it's plenty time. I expected him to go as well, you know. So I don't think he can have too many qualms about leaving. I'd say he'd be happy enough to, you know, he's given it everything. He's brought them as far as he could, you know. Like, have they improved? The problem staying too long is that you can regress a bit, and then you're into a whole other minefield of trying to rebuild again, where he should be leaving a pretty stable structure behind, and someone else coming on and being able to feed that information on. That's the ideal world. But then you've got county boards, you've got people within the county, you know, knifing each other in the back, saying, ah, he's shite or whatever, and we'll do a better job. And they'll come in and rip up the script that was took 6 years to build, and that's gone out the window and stuff like that. So, look, I don't think he'll have too many complaints. He, you know, they had a poor year, they had a very poor year. You know, obviously, they're a big traditional county. Are they in a rebuilding mode? I don't know, but they need to find some really good young players to lift them and get the interest back in Meath football again. You know, they can't be looking at Sean Boylan forevermore coming back in as an advisor or something like that. So who's there in the county to take it? I know there was issues with Bernard Flynn last year. Is he interested in getting involved? You know, there's other, like, Meath legends, Trevor Giles. Like, are they going to go into that bracket?
But that's my thing there. Like, you know, we're sitting here all day and we throw out fellas' names. I don't know what these fellas do for a living. Like, most fellas, with the jobs they have, they just don't have the time for it, or they have a family like that Eamon. I could throw, geez, Eamon, an outsider, maybe you could go down for a job, but you've work and you've kids, and like, fellas would love to get involved, and you're thinking, for the time and the abuse,
the county management is unsustainable. Now, listen, it might peter out with this split season and level itself out, but before this it was unsustainable. And I actually made a point where there was a lot of people, you know, you had an administration person in most counties were getting paid. You were having, you know, a commercial officer were getting paid. And I was actually made a point a few years ago where it was coming to a stage where the county manager will inevitably have to park their job, maybe take a career break if you're lucky enough able to do that, or sign a 3-year contract, 2-year contract, and actually get paid. But because good example here, county asked me on board last year, or the last year for this year, to come on, you know, do a wee bit of coaching with them. And, you know, I would have loved to do it. But as soon as I sat down with my partner, she says, because she remembers what it was like as a player, and I've explained to her that selector management is nearly double as much commitment. And my partner, Joanne, says, not a hope. We have 3 young kids here. There's no way you're going near it yet. And that's the reality. There's so many people, you know, you said, Darren, we're throwing out names, and there's so many people will say, oh, he'll take this job, he'll take that job. And they just might not be in a situation where they can take it. And people shouting for change need to know this, that we can have a long list of the best, most qualified men in the world, but the county management, it's, you know, you can nearly rule 60-70% of them straight away, purely because they're professional and personal scenarios don't suit it.
Yeah, it is. It actually, it shouldn't deny me as much, but it actually does. The same with the club scene, like the time and commitment. If you're training at 7 o'clock, most of them are there early.
Yeah.
You know, you're setting stuff up, you're dealing with players ringing you when they're not on. This is only club scene as well. Like, and do you know, if you have a young family or family and work as well, like, and for all the abuse and the thanks you get, it, like, sort of, we're all armchair experts at times, but I just thought the abuse for Andy McIntyre, a man who I wouldn't know him personally, but I know a few fellas, and they just said, like, top man, like, and, you know, it's just sad to see that all these know-it-alls who are sitting but, under a high stool talking.
I'm going to say something, like, you're entitled to criticise. I think you're entitled to criticise. Yeah. But how you go about that, you know, it's how you word that, and if you're respectful, listen, we can't have a situation where we're all happy to take the pats on the back and be, oh, he's a great lad, him, he's given up his life and he's sacrificing so much. And, you know, if you can't just have it one way, you have to take the criticism.
Like, it's time to go or whatever, but you keep it to what it is and don't make it personal. And, like, some people, I think, have a bit of a personal vendetta in it. But, look, this is another conversation we could have.
Well, me, they aren't where they should be, or where they, from an insider.
But that's not a manager's
fault. No, but if you're a me person, like, and you're anyway negative or whatever, you're going to get at the manager because you think Mead should be where they were in 96 and 99 and this, that and the other. And that game has changed big time. And Dublin have obviously eaten Leinster to shreds. You know, they've tore it to shreds. And as a Mead young footballer coming in and say, okay, what are my goals here? And I'm giving up everything, as you just said, giving up everything to go in and get mauled by Dublin again and again and again. So structures change, things change. But who goes in there now? God knows.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in today's show, but we'll be back next week talking about all the upcoming action and the Taltian Cup. A big thanks to my two guests today, Finian, for joining me in studio, and Eamon for joining us remotely. We'll see you all next week.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gowan, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McDonald, it's high, it's over! Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you